Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shots are fired at a neighborhood bar, and residents of that neighborhood want to see change. We're talking about the Marigny, and joining us on the line is Alan Johnson, president of the Fauxberg Marigny Improvement Association. Alan, welcome to the show. Alan, welcome to the show. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So, Alan, we have these shots fired. I looked at the video. I guess everyone says, you know, if it happens on the corner of your neighborhood, your home, the place that you call home, it's a little terrifying to see that.
Oh, it absolutely is. It's just very frustrating for the neighbors because it was, I hate to say this, but I think a lot of people's opinion was that it was a matter of time. We had two shooting incidences there back in the fall of 2013, where one gentleman was killed and I believe two were injured. And also we had another person killed in the March of 2014. And since that time, it has been, for lack of a better phrase, a nuisance bar. We've been working with the city and the 8th District Police Department through all of that time, and really a new sort of push started in August of last year. The neighbors had sort of had enough, and we put together a petition, and we've been working with the 8th District. So that's what is really frustrating, is the neighbors have been meeting and just trying to get something done about the bar.
Now, I saw a piece the other night on the news. I mean, one of the residents, I think, had engaged the owner. The bar is called Iggy's Bar, and I think his name is Dave Grove, who's owned this bar for 16 years. Has he been cooperative in trying to turn this situation around? And although, I mean, he's still doing his business, and obviously it's an attractive nuisance for the neighborhood, actually, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's one of the major complaints. Neighbors have been contacting him forever and individually. And they had called him, and he used to be more active presence in the bar, from what I understand from the neighbors. That's not exactly my part of the neighborhood. But they had all reached out to him individually, and nothing was happening. And so that's why they all got together back in August of last year.
Now, what has been the reaction of both your council member as well as the mayor?
It's been a busy week. I've been in contact with the council member, members of the administration, as well as members of the NOPD. So people are trying to figure out what to do and how we can address this situation. I think it's very frustrating because from what I've figured out on working on this for about a year is that it just doesn't seem to be a set procedure or set plan on how you deal with quote-unquote nuisance bars and what constitutes a nuisance bar. It's sort of like blight. Everyone knows what it looks like, but they can't really describe it. And it's the same thing here.
Is there an identified process where one could lose their city liquor license if there's not
something? From what I can tell, no. From what I can tell, there is not a set process. That's what we're trying to do, is to figure out how we can go and fix it. We don't want to get rid of the bar. One of the things we love about the Marigny and the historic core down here, the walkable streets and the bars and the restaurants that we have. We just want to bring it into compliance, but we don't know how to do that. There's no way, there's no sort of set procedure. If I had a checklist, it would make everything much more simpler. And there doesn't seem to be one. I know the city is working on one right now. The city council is working on one right now that's coming up for a vote on the 19th. And one of the things that we'll do is we'll give sort of emergency closure powers to safety and permits if there's, they have to come up with the exact criteria, but it will give them the ability to do that. And that's coming up next Thursday at City Council.
Well, obviously, criminal activity ought to be something, first and foremost, as it relates to the criteria in order to establish whether or not any establishment is a nuisance, right?
It should. It's a matter of doing the investigations. I mean, there's lots of complaints from the neighbors about drug dealing in that neighborhood and around that bar, as well as prostitution. It's the general nuisance type of stuff is bar customers out sort of sitting on people's steps, going into their backyards, in their alleyways, being sort of scattered around the bar, and right. just sort of a lack of, I guess you can say, sort of a lack of responsibility from the bar owner.
Actually, Alan, we have a caller that says he lives right next door to Iggy's. Let's go to him, Jordan, on line two. What say you, Jordan?
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
You know, I live next door to the bar, and it's just really been a problem pretty consistently ever since I moved in. It's been about 3 years. You know, I've had my house broken into by people that were hanging out outside the bar. I woke up in the middle of the night a few months back, and there was somebody inside my living room going through my wallet, you know. There have been assaults in the neighborhood. Multiple neighbors have been assaulted by patrons of this bar that are, you know, either urinating on their property or, you know, vandalizing cars. And when these people are getting called out on it, these people are getting violent in some situations. So it's really been an ongoing problem for a lot of people that live in the neighborhood. And we'd really like, you know, to find some sort of solution where we can live in peace, go to sleep, and not expect to have to be woken up by burglary or police knocking on my door trying to get security footage of a shooting with a semi-automatic weapon.
You know, it's fun. I find it refreshing. As I heard a number of the neighbors talking on the news, this is to both Alan and Jordan, it seems as though everyone's trying to find balance because they recognize and realize the beauty of the neighborhood is the restaurants, the shops, the, you know, the little neighborhood bars. But by the same token is that there needs to be a sense of order and a sense of responsibility. And I call it this culture of noncompliance. We just can't let people continue to be in noncompliance and not be the good corporate partner citizen to the neighborhood.
Exactly. You know, these neighborhood bars and restaurants, which we credit with a lot of the charm in our neighborhood, they can't drag the neighborhood down. And there's always that one bad actor, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk about all the great neighborhood bars and restaurants in the neighborhood, and I could do it. I don't want to miss one to make somebody mad at me. But, right. you know, this isn't happening at, say, the R Bar or at Second Vine Wine, a great place right down the street. This is happening. This is not happening at the Praline Shop.
Right.
Everything seems to happen right at this intersection. And if I knew what the magic potion was, the magic thing that you can do to make it stop from happening, I would do it. But it's got to be a combination of things, I would guess. I mean, you've I'm sure dealt with this in your career.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things that causes me concern when you talk about it is the openness of the level of drug activity there. That is a dangerous, you know, jambalaya. That's an ingredient in the jambalaya that you do not want. Because they do the things that Jordan just outlined. They'll break into your home, steal your money. They're looking for the next fix. And, you know, that is a problem.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. And, you know, we had a drive-by on Friday night. There was a drive-by there years ago. And that's very scary. Jordan lives right next door. That's very scary for something to happen next to you. And there's houses for sale, about 5 houses. For sale within a block of that property.
Okay. Let's go to Susan on line three. Susan, welcome to the show.
Good morning. As a longtime resident of the Marigny, I think they should be shut down, period. But if the city doesn't have the courage to do that, they should at least restrict their hours to 1 a.m. I also think Iggy's must agree to install security cameras that work that tie into the real-time crime center. Thank you.
Yes. And that may be a compromise solution, obviously.
I think that's part of it for right now. There's just
flip side to that is that if there's drug activity there, they know that there's these cameras there and it's tied to real-time crime, it just pushes that problem outside the view of the crime camera, so to speak.
Or it pushes it somewhere down the street.
Which is right down the street where your residents are.
Exactly.
So at first blush, it sounds great, but I'm not so sure operationally that it makes sense. Let's go to line four. We'll talk to Felipe. What say you, Felipe?
Good morning, guys, and thank you for taking my call. I have over three generations of my family who have lived in this area for over 80 years. I recently moved back, and I live within 300 feet of five different bars. I've never seen any trouble with the other bars who have security guards. Myself, I've witnessed a couple of weeks ago a young lady chasing two guys outside of the bar and all around the outside of the bar with a knife, threatening to cut them. And another incident right across from where I live, I had to ask some people to leave or cut the noise down at midnight. And when I ask them politely to cut the noise down, I get cursed at and threatened to where I have to call the police. I just feel like there has to be something that we can do that these other four bars are not having issues with. You never see anyone at the R Bar or the Phoenix or at Second Vine fighting out front. The trash is unacceptable. I just don't know what we can do at the moment, but we need some sort of resolution.
Alan and Felipe, does this bar just cater to an ingredient that just is unhealthy? I mean, you know, obviously, if we're talking about drug dealing going on, if we're talking about public drunkenness and intoxication in the street, what else are we seeing?
Well, if I may say, last week I was in front of my home and a young lady walked to the corner of Turo and Rampart, leaned into a car, and I witnessed this with my own eyes. She comes out of the car with a stack of money in her hand, and as she's walking towards me, which is towards the Ruby Slipper, towards my home, she's counting the money that's in her hand, and I don't think she was buying a refrigerator.
Yeah, it's a 24-hour bar. That's one of the things that a lot of the neighbors point to, that if you could restrict the hours, because a lot of this stuff is happening late at night. And it does seem to be, that is one of the complaints, that it's sort of all coming outside of the bar, drug dealing and stuff like that. And we've, you know, contacted the police, and the police have been working with us on there. But I just don't know. There just has to be something above the police department that could be done.
You know,
just put in a lot of times. We've met with them multiple times, six or seven times.
We had a similar experience in Jefferson Parish in Fat City, and my office and then Councilwoman Cynthia Lee Shang for the district worked together in creating new ordinances there. Obviously, in the short term, there was some pain for some of the operators there, but in the long term, I can tell you that the crime stats there are more favorable than they've ever been. Which means that, you know, you're not tying up the police dealing with these nuisance calls from this location, and they have more time to do patrol and observation in the remainder of your neighborhood.
Yes, I mean, the neighbors have been great. Since we sort of started working with the police on this back in August, and we were asked, make phone calls, let us know what was going on. Because those phone calls had stopped, because it just becomes, unfortunately, that you accept things.
Yep.
And that's just the way it is, and we've got to deal with it. And people shouldn't have to accept it. And the neighbors have been great about calling the police department. And the police department's been great of working with us and meeting with us at times when we've asked for those meetings.
Absolutely.
We met with the night watch commander just a few weeks ago, finding out what were the days where he could provide us the most help.
We're talking to Alan.
Great.
We're talking to Alan Johnson, president of Fauxberg Marigny Improvement Association. We got a lot of people on hold. We stay on hold. We're going to come right back to the talk lines when we return. 260-1870 or text 870-870. This is Newell on WWL. And just remember, in that battle for the closet space, there's an autumn upgrade event for California Closets going on now. You can save up to 15% on a finish upgrade during their autumn upgrade event. Forgot to mention that earlier. You know, I'm getting some texts that are saying, well, you know, maybe you shouldn't have moved into the neighborhood. There's a bar there. The bar's been there for 16 years. But does that mean that you have to put up with this nonsense? I don't think so. Obviously, there are other bars present, as been articulated by Alan Johnson and some of the other callers. It seems to be that they're able to work it out. Why not this particular bar? And, you know, does that infuriate you a little bit, Alan, when you hear people say that?
Yeah, it does. You know, the houses have been there. You can make the same case for the house. There have been residential buildings there that are still there for just as long and probably not and longer than the building. I know that Jordan's house has probably been there for the bar. I know it's Jordan's house has probably been there for 100 years before there was ever a bar there.
Yeah, let me see. Even in new, even in new math, 100 versus 16. Let me, you know.
we're looking at all we're looking at is sort of an equilibrium and a balance. There's right. no reason that a bar can't do business and not have this type of stuff going on. One of the other bars tend to do it.
One of the other texts says that this is the consequence of not allowing smoking inside of the bar. Your thoughts?
Again, it's this one. This stuff happened. The shootings back years ago, I believe, happened before the smoking ban occurred.
Right. That's why I brought it up, because I did the math on that, and it seems like that wasn't the issue.
And again, it's not at the other bars that we just mentioned also.
Yep.
I mean, I think we've talked about it. Sitting on the sidewalk out front of your neighborhood bar is sort of a part of the culture of our neighborhood. And I sort of enjoy that because I think it's good when you can walk through the neighborhood late at night and you feel a certain amount of safety because you know where there's going to be customers sitting out front. So this doesn't have anything to do with sitting out front.
Is it your sense, Alan, that the patrons at this bar are not from the neighborhood?
I think lots of them aren't. There are some that are. I think it's a mixture of some people from the neighborhood, but a larger percentage not from the neighborhood.
Let's go to line one and talk to Dario real quick. Dario, welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi.
Yes. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing fine. You have a comment about the bar?
Yeah, so with this situation, I actually live about two houses down on the other block, so my front door, I can very clearly see the bar, most of my windows, any one that I look at, it runs the length of the bar. So I have a lot of firsthand experience with things that tend to happen. Usually, as I'm getting off of work, you know, that's when I'll observe people hanging out front, which, as I think Alan was saying, is typically, you know, normal for a bar that no longer allows smoking. People can smoke outside. However, what I typically observe are people not standing outside smoking. If anything, they'll go in, grab a drink, and the biggest concern that I had were people pulling up to the bar, the front doors. Both are one-way streets, but they would park in front of the intersection at the corner, right below a stop sign, right next to a fire hydrant, and essentially turn their music on loud enough and kind of give themselves, you know, some entertainment, go in, grab a drink, come out, and then just hang out on their cars. As the night goes on, more people come to join, and then before you know it, 8, 9 o'clock, you have full-on groups of 15 to 20 people who are no longer in the bar at all, and just hanging out outside. I've sent videos and photos to the city about the amount of trash that ends up getting left around in our bushes, in the gutters, all the go cups that the bar issues. And because it's regular plastic cups that are non-logoed, you know, that the bar likes to claim that it has nothing, that it's not their trash. Eventually, they did agree to start sending someone out in the morning to come out and sweep it up, but again, I have plenty of photographic evidence that shows that's typically not done until 7 a.m. You know, so for me, if I get up early in the morning, I come out to a bunch of litter on the ground. It has also included food items that people bring, and as because they're hanging out in their cars, will consume what they brought with them and then dump the trash out in the street before they take off. I know the conversation we were talking about drugs. It's not uncommon for me to get big wafts of marijuana, you know, being blown around, and it's, you know, been normalized as they were saying to just. It feels like people have become complacent. I used to call the bar directly to ask if there was anything that they can do to ask their clientele to come inside. Eventually, that stopped answering, but typically because they said there's nothing that they could do because it's it's not coming from their bar. In very rare instances, you know, maybe they would say something, but if anything, they would actually go outside to let people know that someone called the cops, and then that would typically send people, people who felt like they needed to leave. But
I watched numerous videos, I guess, from one of the neighbors' cameras. And what I saw was a lot of transient activity, actually people pulling up, leaving their car running, which kind of surprised me, going in, getting a drink, clearly a drink in their hand, getting back behind a wheel of the car, driving off.
Exactly. Yeah, I've seen that on numerous times. That I actually one morning saw bar staff escorting a person to their vehicle looking like they've had too much to drink and getting in and letting them leave. One of our neighbors, unfortunately, he lives a couple houses down, had both of his cars damaged from someone that was thrown out of the bar, and they got behind the wheel of a vehicle, took off, and sideswiped both cars, I think on different sides of the road, which indicates how much they were swerving. The security video shows them backing up, parking, and then trying to go back into the bar, not being let in, and then finally taking off. So, you know, for the bar to say that there's not any responsibility they have for clientele is very frustrating when, you know, we have evidence that shows a direct correlation in many instances. And I know a couple of dates have been thrown around, including meetings last October. I've actually been documenting evidence since January of 2018 because I finally reached a point where I had no idea what there was left to do. And I finally asked NOPD if I could speak to someone, and they assigned an investigator to the case, and that is when I was instructed to start collecting as much evidence as I could. So now, it being more than a year and a half, I'm wondering what more do I need to do after showing, you know, a year and a half's worth of time of situations where all we could expect is for something like what happened on Friday night to happen again.
Again, right. Absolutely. Dario, thank you so much for calling in. Alan,
I think you hit on something important there, is all of the work that's sort of been done and the info gathering that's been done. And then, well, what do you need? If you need photos of this, we'll give it to you. If you need video of this, we'll give it to you. If you need a petition, we'll give it to you. But we don't know what's to be done, and we don't know what you need. What's the magic wand we need to sort of wave and to have something done, and what can be done? Right. And that's the thing. It's so murky and confusing. I don't know that it's like nobody's singing from the same hymnal.
And it seems like the NOPD is equally as frustrated, because they seem to be very responsive, working with you folks and everything else. I think the telltale sign, though, is that I've had a number of people text and email talking about, you know, the market value of homes there. Everybody, I mean, the desire to live in the Marigny is, you know, on an uptick. It's very strong. Uh-huh. But there are homes that have been, I'm told, for sale for in excess of 2 years in the, you know, immediately around the bar. Is that true?
Correct. Right across the street and then right down Rampart. And the same thing on the other side of down Rampart. We have seen that. You know, I did research the other day for something else. After the storm, we were $75 a square foot for residential homes in this area. We had shot back up to 183. So we were up to 183 just recently. So there's this neighborhood has gotten very popular, and then these houses aren't selling, because a lot of people will attribute that to Iggy's.
Yep. Let's go to Pat on line 5. What say you, Pat? Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for calling.
I live half a block from Iggy's, where this shooting took place, and the gunfire woke me up at 2:30 in the morning. One of the things that disturbs me is every night there are cars illegally parked by Iggy's all the way to the intersection on all four corners of Turo and Rampart. So a fire truck or ambulance would never be able to turn the corner. That's bad enough. And people sitting in the, like a previous caller said, people sitting in the cars with the engines running, and people getting in and out of the cars for who knows what reason. But this recent turn of events, I think, is sinister, and it's a whole nother level. I like a neighborhood bar as much as anybody else, and as much as anybody else in this neighborhood does. But this case, it's not a couple of guys in a dispute. It's not somebody getting held up or mugged. This is somebody with a semi-automatic weapon driving by and firing multiple shots into a illegally parked Mercedes, and the driver of that car returned fire. All of that in the middle of the residential neighborhood in the middle of the night. That's unusual.
Well, it seemed to me the illegal parking issue, that's one that can be resolved quickly.
Well, you say so. If you were me, you tell me what you would do. I call the police.
I would send the tow trucks out there and start towing.
Well,
and watch
tell me
how fast.
How to get the tow truck then, because when I call and ask for the, and I report this many, many, many times, if I reported this, and they say, well, what is the make and model and what is the license plate number? I'm like, are you serious? I'm 71 years old. I'm going to trot down there with my little notepad and write down their license plate number? You know, I think that's much easier said than done to say just get them towed. I wish they would get them towed. I've been trying to get them towed.
You know, if the law enforcement agency is empowered to do so, that's a quick way to get to a resolution as to how they're going to be treating the neighbors around that barroom. Is you get intrusive and you get aggressive in your enforcement, and parking is one of them. You know,
yes.
You know, you stop that conduct immediately, and you start towing vehicles.
Well, I've been there.
But I've not been able to make that happen.
Yeah. No, I understand the frustration. I mean, it's something that we did out in Jefferson Parish. If the owner of the establishment is not playing by the rules, there are a lot of rules that can be enforced.
Well, Newell, just to tell you, we had a meeting regarding this back in August, the first meeting we had in this push. And when we left, the police commander at the time got in his car to drive off, and he couldn't get through the intersection. And this was about 6 o'clock in the evening, because a car had stopped in the intersection and ran in to get a drink. And he hit the little sirens real quickly, and the person came in and sort of threw their hand at him to sort of blow him off. And then they saw that it was a police officer, and then they quickly got in the car and drove off. But that was at 5 or 6 in the six in the afternoon. And so that's what that intersection has sort of become.
So they almost really have a de facto drive up window. I mean, you know, because when I looked at, when I saw the video, and I don't know who sent, there were two or three cars where they, one car, there was somebody in the car, but they left the car door open. They were halfway into the street. They went in, they came out, and they had a drink in their hand.
That's common.
Yeah. I don't know. It seems to me that there's a lot of meat on that bone to go chew on from an enforcement standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Alan, we got to take another break. Stay with me, please. We got a number of callers still calling in. We're going to come back to the talk lines when we return. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL. Shots fired at a neighborhood bar, and the residents of the neighborhood want to see change. Talking about Iggy's Bar in the Marigny, number of shootings there. We have Alan Johnson, president of the Fauburg Marigny Improvement Association. Alan, we're going to go back to the talk lines. Let's go to Ken on line 6. Ken, welcome to the show.
Yes, thank you. Got me? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Yes. I'll give you a little history. I was with the Fauburg Marigny Association for a number of years when the two murders happened years ago. And I got to tell you, we documented, and we're able to make some change. It got a little quieter for years. But the real issue here is there's really no meat in the ABO ordinance right now. And on the 19th, there's a whole there's some changes that bringing it up to speed, bringing it up to date, and that could really deal with this situation. Iggy's is one of two bars that was a problem in the Marigny in the past. The problem is you talk like, for instance, about parking. NOPD has no control about parking. The Public Works Department handles parking. So those other departments, you know, they should be doing an enforcement, but they don't work past 5-7 o'clock on a weekend or a weeknight. So there's nobody to issue tickets. You think you can create a task force that could do this. But so I think looking back is, these problems, you could probably pull my letters from years ago and it's probably word for word the exact same problems. But right now what's going on is this ABO that they're going to introduce or they're going to talk about next week is really going to help with the bad guys, the bad bars, the bad, you know, the, the players that aren't really playing by the rules. And I think that's really what people need to start focusing on. Get to City Hall and make your voices clear, because the good guys, you know, there's a lot of good bars, like Alan says.
Oh, absolutely. Look,
I don't have issues with those.
I love bar owners. I love the people in the tourism industry. You know, they're great people. Ken and right. Alan, let me ask you something. In all the years mm-hmm. that y'all been dealing with this issue, is Iggy's a cash-only bar?
I don't know, Ken. I don't know. I agree with Ken. We really need a template, a way to deal with these types of things. And that's what's so frustrating, as you could hear in his voice, just thinking back years ago.
See, we have a commission in Jefferson Parish that handles that. And there's an administrative hearing process that goes through that issue, because we had a number of the same problems historically. The reason I ask about cash only bars is that, you know,
it is cash only, I believe.
The sales tax collector's got every opportunity to go mm-hmm. in there, because
there's a lot of angles that
there's
video gambling, for instance, which is very regulated.
You know, we've done that in the past in some of the problematic bars. We found out one of the reasons they're problematic is that they're not following any of the rules, and they love this culture of noncompliance. They don't mm-hmm. comply with anything. And it's not just one thing. It's going to end up being a whole right. host of things. And the neighborhood's paying the price. And y'all have a legitimate concern. If fire, EMS, and others can't mm-hmm. get down the street because of the way that they're parking and because of the conduct of the patrons, that is a huge problem.
Mm-hmm. We agree. It's just been very frustrating. This has taken a lot of time. And as you hear from Ken, Ken goes back 6 years with this issue.
16. We're very fortunate that a neighbor hasn't been, you know, hurt in anything like this in the last 16 years.
Yeah, but that clock's ticking, my friend.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Time bomb.
That yep. clock is ticking.
And their defense,
well, this was a matter of time.
Yeah.
Is that, like, the last two murders, they didn't happen inside their bar, so it wasn't their responsibility. They happened right outside their back of their door. The people exited the bar and got shot. So there's some bar involvement. Now, what happens in that bar, I'm not quite sure. But the reality is that's a bar owner
that's looking through rose-colored glasses.
Exactly. Yep.
Not my problem.
Yeah, no.
But the real thing that can be done with this is, you know, again, on the 19th, you know, the city's working with an ordinance that goes back, God, I think about 40 or 50 years ago, and it's just outdated.
Yeah.
And there's some things that need to be reworded and redone, and it'll protect the good guys, and it'll give the neighborhood some enforcement to go after, you know, some of the folks that aren't playing by the rules.
Folks, I don't know if y'all have listened to my show. I've talked a lot about this culture of noncompliance, and mm-hmm. you know, these things reveal themselves in very sophisticated little ways that create this degradation in our communities, in our neighborhoods. They creep up on you. Obviously, this one's been creeping for a long time, and then it's got you.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's hard to overcome.
Well, you know, you hear people say, "Well, you moved near a bar. What do you expect?" Does that mean that all bars?
Well, then
that you expect so low of a threshold.
Let's start taking the Sharpie pen and drawing bubbles around. You know. on a map, all of these different things, and what you're mm-hmm. going to find is that we're going to eliminate half the neighborhoods in the city, and that's mm-hmm. that's something that makes it unique. There is a role and a play and a position and a play for a neighborhood bar. They just have to understand, as y'all said, there's a balance of interest, right?
Yes, sir.
Guys, thank you all so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and talking about this important subject. And good luck. To all of y'all, and would love to follow up on this story with you in the future. Got to get to a break. Stay with us, 260-1870 or text 870-870. We'll be right back. Folks, I truly enjoyed spending my second anniversary with you today on 9/11. Want to thank the big man here, Kevin Cassidy, Diane Newman, Helen Santani, Ian Hoke, all of my fellow talk show host, and all of our fellow employees here. Thank you for your support over the past 2 years. Truly appreciate it and really enjoying myself. Scoot's up next. Stay tuned. He's got a great lineup. We'll see you again.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.